Buenos dias. Welcome to the People Power Everything podcast. I am your host, John Dallas, and I believe that there is power in the masses. The goal of this podcast is to talk about that power, how we can help it manifest itself for all of us, and some lessons I've learned along the way. Hi there, and welcome to this week called Burnout: Understanding and Strategies to Conquer It. Last week, I wrote about and spoke about the benefits of building relationships and the effects on longevity. This week, I want to follow up on the subject of burnout. I linked to an article in Scientific American called You Can Conquer Burnout, and I read it in one of their special editions in print. Yeah, I still buy some things in their physical form, like books and some magazines. Even if the content is all available online in exchange for showing me a massive amount of ads, what some people call free, I like the ad-free environment of print, not to mention how tangible it is to me. I digress. The article's title is a really positive message that I hope we can all recall as we go through hard times, and that is, you can conquer burnout. Not deal with, not bounce back from, and certainly not develop resilience towards, but conquer. That's promising and very powerful. Knowing that there's a way out, not only to get past it, but to obliterate it. Veni, vidi, vici, burnout, as Julius Caesar said of the Battle of Zela. I came, I saw, I conquered. Hopefully we can all say that of the battle against burnout. In order to do that, we have to understand it better and build some know-how. So first, let's figure out a definition. The Canadian Center for Addiction and Mental Health seems to be a good place to start. They define it as a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. So let's break that down a bit. First, it's not one thing. It's a mix. There are three parts: emotional, physical, and mental. These three components, they often interplay and exacerbate one another, contributing to the overall experience. Addressing each component is crucial in effectively managing and then overcoming and conquering burnout. And each has its own definition and components, so let's talk about that a bit. Emotional exhaustion. This is the feeling of being emotionally drained, being depleted. Individuals experiencing this might feel like they have nothing left to give emotionally. They might feel overwhelmed, might feel detached, unable to cope with the demands of their work on an emotional level, and they may withdraw from social interactions. So somebody who's usually in the group, who's not anymore, ask why. The next is physical exhaustion. This one we hear about a lot. People that say, I sleep all the time. I mean, this is part of it. It manifests as being drained, fatigued. And it could also lead to symptoms such as chronic fatigue, muscle aches, headaches, and difficulty sleeping. So you're tired all the time, but you can't sleep. Hard to be part of that. The last being crucial component to overall health. Sleep is important. Some may also experience a decline in their overall physical health that may be more susceptible to illness due to weakened immune system. For somebody like me who's diabetic, that's compounding things. The body's ability to recover from physical exertion may diminish, making it challenging to perform daily tasks. Hey, I got up today and I vacuumed the house and I'm so proud of myself. Have you heard that before? I have. And it's from people who are burnt out, who recognize being burnt out, who are on the path to recovery, but you know, they have to be proud of the little things they do every day, and they should be. And it's in that path to recovery that we absolutely want to be and or conquer things and get out of it. The last is mental exhaustion. So that refers to feeling mentally drained and depleted of cognitive resources. So difficulty concentrating, memory problems, impaired decision-making abilities. Individuals may experience brain fog. So this was actually one of the symptoms of COVID, where their thoughts feel foggy and unclear. Mental exhaustion can also lead to feelings of disengagement and reduced productivity. So if you want to figure out how much this costs, it can cost a lot, especially since mental health issues tend to take a lot longer to resolve. So anybody who goes off work because of them ends up being away much, much longer than any kind of physical injuries. I shouldn't say any kind, but many physical injuries. And prolonged mental exhaustion can increase the risk of developing mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression. If you've ever felt burnt out, what effects did it have on your life? Did you feel like you just couldn't get motivated and that all the effort wasn't worth it? Did you feel physically drained even before you started the day? Did it have effects on your personal life and health? Did you feel like a failure? So first, as the article says, and I quote, "Banish the idea that it arises from a personal failing. People who face burnout do not lack some essential quality such as work ethic, resilience, or self-confidence," end quote. People who are burned out are not to blame. As I said last week, and I quote again, "When a flower doesn't bloom, do you blame the flower or the environment?" end quote. And since, last quote here for a little while, research has consistently pointed to management practices and poor job designs as the leading causes, end quote. That's where our efforts need to start. No matter our position at work, we can have positive effects by working to improve practices and designs. Part of this will challenge the status quo. Luckily, challenging the status quo is something management gurus have been selling for decades. Innovation is brought about by challenging norms. Don't take my word for it. A simple search on the internet reveals many gems, like an article called "How to Challenge Your Organization's Status Quo Productively" from the Harvard Business Review. And "Employees Who Challenge the Status Quo, How Do They Make a Difference?" from the Business Management blog. There are many thousands upon thousands of articles on the internet if you just do a simple search about challenging the status quo. It's one of the basic leadership attributes in any innovative organization. So that brings us to, what can we do to reduce burnout? So knowing what it is, knowing what causes it based on the science, well, the science then points to things like workload management, job demands control, social support, and relationships that we had talked about. So here's the breakdown with some bullet points to make it easier to digest. However, I do highly recommend diving into these to learn more about them. There's a lot of research and it can easily be found, but if you'd like some help, I'd be happy to help. Flip me an email, john@peoplepowereverything.com. I'm happy to point you towards a bunch of research that I've read about it and some of the ways that can link to being better in your life. So number one, workload management. Four bullets: prioritize tasks, set realistic goals, delegate responsibility, and use time management techniques. So in these, I won't explain too much. You can go read about them, but some of the time management techniques, just to block that out, there's things like time blocking or task batching. So time blocking is literally setting aside blocks of time to do certain things so they don't get eaten up by meetings or just being distracted. And then same thing with task batching. So bring tasks together that should be done together and that reduce context switching. So these are specific things you can do. You can set specific time limits for tasks, like I'm going to spend 30 minutes on this and then I'm going to move on to something else. And that's something that can help prevent burnout by making us more efficient and being able to manage our schedules in a way that's efficient for us. Second, job demands control. So this is actually something from, I've said quite a few times before, I like the model. It's a theory from Karasek and Theorel from 1990, the job demands support control model. So how do job demands affect the way we see work? And we can have demanding jobs with lots of volume, and within those, we can have autonomy on how we do things. And the part that makes work less dangerous psychologically is shown to be support. So even if the job is demanding, even if we don't have a lot of control, which If we do, that's good. But if we don't, if we have support, it can still be okay. I won't say great, but it can be okay. So within that, we want to advocate for autonomy and flexibility. The way we do things is more motivating when we have autonomy on how we do them. We can also clarify expectations. This is really, 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 really important. Ask questions, figure out what's expected. And then also skills development. And this is, it actually relates to basic psychological needs. Developing competence. So developing skills that'll enable us to get things done more productively, easier, learning from the challenge. These are all things that within skills development are important. And then we talked about social support. So this is number three. Within the job demand support control model, support is important. So it's actually got its own call out here. So build a support network, cultivate relationships with colleagues, friends, mentors, you know, people you've worked with in the past, and talk about what your challenges are. These are good ways to get different perspectives from people who may not necessarily be in your work environment, but have lived through things. Seek feedback and guidance. So don't hesitate to ask for feedback. You want that to come from trusted people when facing difficulties or uncertainties, but getting that constructive, honest, open, transparent feedback is very, very valuable. And it's when it's from somebody you trust and there's no judgment, then it just makes it very, very positive. And then last, relationships. So within your relationships, the science says, again, not me, the science, it says maintain a work-life balance. So there's something called work-life boundary theory by Ellen Kosek, going from memory, so I hope that's right. Pretty sure it is. She's at Purdue University, and she does a lot of research around how people establish boundaries and how different types of people need different types of boundaries. Really interesting research there. But one of the things we can do to reduce burnout and conquer it is to establish boundaries and have them respected. Second thing, nurture personal relationships. So prioritize relationships with family members, friends, romantic partners. Invest the time and effort and make sure though that they know that they're important. And then practice self-care. Regular exercise, adequate sleep, healthy eating, you know, do things, stress reduction techniques, mindfulness, meditation, yoga. All these things contribute to better mental health. And if you're doing exercise, there's that hit of, I want to say endorphins, and it exercise is actually a more powerful antidepressant than a lot, if not all, the medications out there. There is science to back that up. So again, research it on your own. I hate saying that. If you really want me to send you some links, I'll be more than happy to. Flip me an email, john@peoplepowereverything.com. I'll be happy to send you some of the background research that's been done that I've read. I've got a bibliography from my research that has about 500 scientific articles in it. So not all about the same thing, but I'm sure I could find something in there that that makes sense and that can show you that the science says it, not just me. So the message is clear. You can conquer burnout. We can conquer burnout. And it's not just about coping or bouncing back. It's about obliterating burnout altogether. And we've discussed about the three components, emotional, physical, mental exhaustion, and how they intertwine with each other to create that debilitating experience. And the effects of burnout are profound. They affect job performance, personal well-being, the overall quality of life. So by focusing on strategies like workload management and job demand controls, social support, our relationships, we can reclaim our power over our lives and work towards resilience and fulfillment. The science of management tells us to challenge the status quo and advocate for workplace practices that prioritize well-being, and they foster a culture of support and flexibility. And by prioritizing self-care, setting realistic goals, and cultivating meaningful connections, relationships, we can combat burnout and pave the way for a more sustainable and fulfilling life. Remember, conquering burnout is not just an individual endeavor. It's not about us as individual people. It needs collective action with others together and a shift in mindset. And together with others, collectively, we can create environments where burnout is not just managed, but conquered, allowing each of us to thrive personally and professionally as people. And that's awesome because we know people power everything. I hope you enjoyed that. A little longer than usual, but burnout is such a big subject, and there's a lot behind it, and I really only scratched the surface. So if you have comments and feedback and different things that I can read, I would love to hear from you. I'm John at peoplepowereverything.com. With that, have a great day and week ahead, and I hope your week has some burnout conquering in it. Have a great day. Love y'all.